Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rapp, an iHeartRadio podcast.
I hit the wrong one. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong one.
I was like, oh, I'm like, they're trying to pull a fast one.
Why is that even on there, Easton? I blame you.
I took that out. I wanted that gone. Someone else put that back in.
All right. Sorry.
Let's try it again.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and People's Choice Award winning podcast.
Let me explain what just happened. Mark just went to play the intro. Are you going to explain it, Easton?
I mean, I'm not taking responsibility for this. I didn't press the button. I just deleted it again.
Well, apparently there is an intro somewhere in the system that says, that takes out the People's Choice Award winning podcast part of the intro.
Well, that was the original open of the show before you won the People's Choice Award.
Before.
Yeah.
And Mark just played it.
It just said scrubbing an intro, so I hit it.
But the face that Tanya and I both made at each other, as if, like, how dare they think that we're not going to notice that?
I was supposed to do the scrubbing in PCA intro. That's what it's called. So I will take responsibility. Although I'm pretty sure that was gone. I'm not sure why it's back.
I don't know who put it back in there, but there will be an email sent later.
Oh, yeah. Heads will roll.
Yeah. A hefty email. Fiery email.
Hey, how is everyone? It's been a while I was a tiny part of, you know, Camilla's podcast at the end.
It's so fun watching now that we've, like, know her.
I know. I'm so thrilled she has a storyline.
Yeah.
No. So here's the thing that we really need to follow up with, okay?
Okay.
She said she'd be down to come to a Grey's viewing party with us.
Okay. Was she being nice?
No. I think she was being nice.
Oh, really?
I think they say that. I do.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I could be wrong. We've had a lot of celebrities in here over the years, so maybe I'm jaded. But they all say, oh, I'd love to come back anytime, and then often they don't, you know? So I don't know. I'm a little jaded.
Okay.
Like, well, we don't have contact information for her. We'd have to get to her people.
But she said it in front of her people. She's like, I would totally love to come back.
But then
I
you're
think she's and I was very like, nice. A girl. What was she going to be like? Oh, no. Thank you.
No, it's not like I was like saying come back. I didn't like ask her to. She was just like unsolicitedly saying that.
She was saying it unsolicited.
Yes.
Right? So, but here's the thing. Wait. If she was really interested, she would have given you her phone number. She did not. We would have to go through her people and book her for a viewing party.
Did she respond to any of your tags that you tagged? Same.
Clued
didn't either. Although I didn't meet her in person, so I'm like, we did not have that bond.
Okay. So, but second thing that I think we should follow up on is that she said that she thinks that we could just go to the set in our scrubs and they would throw us in like as extras.
Because the only thing on the set is Grey's and General Hospital.
Yeah.
So you blend right in and scrub.
I have some huge information for y'all. So I'm at a baby shower yesterday. My friend's like, I really want you to meet my husband's dad. There's a connection that I think you have.
Oh. Husband's so dad. Okay.
This girl, my friend, her husband's father, her father-in-law.
Okay.
So I go up and she's like, so he was the lead casting guy on Grey's Anatomy. Ooh. He's like besties with Jim Pickens, the chief. He basically made the decision not to cast Rob Lowe and instead chose Patrick Dempsey. I'm like, can you come on our podcast?
This man is a legend.
Yeah. He's retired now, but yeah.
He deserved to be retired.
Yeah, I know. So he was like, yeah.
Does
like,
he know sure. who took his place?
What?
Does he know the person that took over his job?
He might. I can probably get that information.
Because that seems like a good connection for
I
us
brought up us showing up on Scrubs, and I don't know if he understood what I was saying. It didn't go over as swimmingly as I had hoped, but shoot. I felt like it was more of a misunderstanding of what I was trying to say rather than total rejection.
Well, how'd you say it? Pretend I'm the guy. Hi, Becca.
Hi. That was a great man voice.
I heard you like Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, I have a podcast with my best friend and it's kind of based off of our love for Grey's Anatomy.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. And we even joked about maybe showing up on set in Scrubs and just seeing if they let us in. And then he followed it up with a question like, what made you get into podcasting?
Oh, so he just kinda, like steered away.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not terrible.
It wasn't a total like, that's not going to work.
Right.
But it also wasn't like, you should do that.
Well,
but
he obviously probably can't encourage us to, like, I mean, it might be like breaking the law. If we're like trespassing.
Yes. But also, it's good that you're aware of when you're being steered in a certain direction in a conversation.
Pretty self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a quality I'm pretty self-aware.
Yeah, that's great.
Something
about
I'm
you.
Proud of, yeah. But
I'm not.
No, you're not. No.
How was.
So wait, but back to it. Should we try? I feel like we should try. Even if we get. No, it's not good.
I'm just worried about you getting arrested.
Oh. What if it got drive-ons? So we were legally there.
If you're driving on and you're wearing scrubs, I think you're kind of good at that point, aren't you?
How do we get a drive on?
I feel like it could be easy.
Maybe.
So we just need a
Paramount, or where do they film?
I don't know where they film. I know that the hospital is somewhere in LA, like the exteriors of the hospital.
I feel like with every connection that we have, we could find a sort of drive on.
There has to be someone who listens to the podcast who works at Gray's that can help us out.
Yeah, somebody works for the San Francisco Giants, sent Easton a big package of stuff. So there's got to be somebody.
So I feel like get every band together, and I think we should at least attempt it. It's an epic story, even if we fail.
I mean, it's more. Oh, no, I was going to say it might be more epic if we fail, but it's more epic if we get on.
Yeah, are you kidding?
I think it's equally epic. I think it's a good story either way. Okay, go for it.
Okay, great. Thank you. I need the blessing from the team.
Okay, but we need to, someone who can help us know the schedule of when it would be best for us to go on.
Yeah, could you imagine if we show up and it's like, they're not shooting today. Yeah. Like,
they're all but General Hospital shooting.
Not the same.
Not the same, but not bad.
Yeah, so I was truly, there are some times where I miss out and I'm like, oh man, like that sucks, wish I could have been there. But this one was like a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
And then the fact that she was awesome.
Awesome.
Like, even Mark got a photo. He wanted a photo with her.
And she was like, I mean, she would have taken a photo with like 100 people if they were here. And she, the fact that she knew that we went to the Paley Fest in our scrubs, she saw photos.
And
I was like,
she's British. Like, that was bizarre. Like, now when I watch the show, I listen to her talk. I'm like, wow.
You didn't know that before?
I didn't know that until she started talking.
I didn't know that either.
What? Oh my God, you do not read gracefacts.com?
Nope. Can't say that I do.
I don't know if that is anything, but should be. She's going through some stuff on Grey's Anatomy, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's dark times. No?
Yeah.
What's your...
Well,
you've
gotten your Justice for Joe. You guys wanted a solid storyline for Joe, and you got it.
I'm excited that she's like, I'm nervous to see what happens. I'm nervous she's going to do something where it affects her relationship.
She seemed pretty like sturdy on that, right?
That's true, because they're way ahead, so she would know, and she was very gung-ho on the Alex Joe marriage.
Mary, yeah, staying to the end.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to the podcast or just the part when you called in?
I listened to it, but I just in my mind don't think that Shonda is just going to like let it go that easy.
Because she talked about it for a while.
Nothing's ever easy on that show, though.
No,
that's true.
All right, your lives. Becca's blonde.
I am very blonde.
Like almost as blonde as Tanya.
As blonde as me.
Side by side, I give Tanya a slight edge. Easton, can you back me up on that?
I am colorblind. They look identical.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you guys look identical. You both have beautiful green hair. No, it really does. It looks the same.
Yeah.
And it looks lovely.
Well, why the change?
I get really bored. The dark, even though it is my natural color, just there's something about it doesn't make me feel as lively.
Is this a mojo quest you're on right now?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I think I go through phases where I want it dark and then I'm bored with it and then I want it short. So I cut it, but then I want it long again. And then I'm like, okay, I'm ready for blonde. Mm. But no one will ever make me super blonde because it's so damaging, you know, bleaching your hair. So I've been begging. I'm like, I need something drastically different. And so she was like, all right, let's do it. So I sat in a chair 2 days in a row for 8 hours.
Wow.
It was a huge commitment. And none of my hair broke off.
That's like a
shout out to Tawny.
Yeah.
Tawny at 901.
I don't think I realize the amount of time and effort that goes into women's hair.
I mean, I can't even imagine how you feel because when I have fresh blonde, I feel like a new woman. And my hair's like already blonde. But when I have like fresh highlights, I'm like, I'm it. every woman. It's all in me.
I felt like that was so tone deaf. It took me a second to even know what song was about to be. yeah, it was shocking. Like the first few days when I woke up and saw myself in the mirror, I was like, whoa, that's bright.
That is bright.
Because I didn't normally, if I'm blonde, I'm more of like a balayage brown and blonde, and then, you know, it's a gradual thing, but I went from dark brown to blonde blonde. So it was a big change. Thank you for acknowledging it.
Did it boost the mojo?
Yeah, I think so. I think I still need to do some other things to boost the mojo.
Did she do your eyebrows too? Your eyebrows lighter?
No, my eyebrows are darker.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was like, she matched the roots to your eyebrows and everything. Tawny. Stepping it up.
But she didn't. She darkened them.
Oh, weird.
Anyways, I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about that. What's been going on? Have you had any interesting... I mean, how was Napa? How was the...
I still have a giant gash on my shin from Napa.
What happened?
I walked into a table totally sober. So there's that.
Were you totally sober?
Yeah, it was Sunday morning.
Oh
yeah,
hungover.
Probably.
Yeah,
it's a little shaky, a little rickety, a little rickety around the edges.
A little
good.
Shaky.
Yeah.
Then you were bleeding, and somebody had to point out to you that there was blood in your pants.
Yeah. Wells was like, did you spill some jam on your? I was like,
jam.
Nope, that's pure blood seeping through.
I'm grossed out because the texture of jam is not like.
I know. It was pretty gross.
Has very thick, chunky blood.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question. This is kind of a weird. I'm just hypothetically. Is Wells your type of personality?
To date?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
But I really like him a lot.
That wasn't my question.
Well, wait, but I don't... Okay, your question first, because I need clarity as well.
I just find that he's very, like, funny and outgoing, and what about him isn't... I'm always like, what's your... I'm trying to think, what is your guy's personality going to be like as far as what you go for?
I guess I don't know.
Because it's happening in May, so...
Oh, it's coming up.
Yeah. Oh. Coming up, guys. I don't know. I like Wells a lot. I just think that...
But that's an interesting thing because you say that about people from time to time. Now, well, Wells obviously is in a very committed relationship.
Oh, yeah,
he's
not
an option. But if Wells were available, he's not your type because why? He's funny.
Maybe,
he's handsome.
Maybe. I had a crush on him before and his brother. Like, obviously, I was like attracted to him at some point.
Yeah.
But I think
but you know him better now.
I know him better. Yeah. And I'm like, we're probably not a good match.
Okay. Hmm. I just thought, like, I was thinking, like, I know he's in a super, it's almost like, I wasn't saying Wells specifically, I'm saying someone
somebody,
like Wells.
Yeah, but he actually, like, was, he told me that in Napa, he was like, I'm gonna, like, keep an eye out for you. Like, I'm really, he's gonna, like, make an effort.
Oh, that's
and,
nice.
Yeah. Like, and, like, it seemed like a genuine effort. Like, he was like, talk to me, tell me, like, what's your physical type? And I was like, throw that out the window. Because
we just don't know
but yeah, he seemed really like adamant about like
helping me,
yeah, which was
not
sweet.
That you need help, but just like keeping a lookout for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than like the dating apps, you know what I mean, like having people.
Oh, she's taking her band-aid off to show Becca the gouge out of her left shin.
There's a wound.
Yeah.
And that's over a week old.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know. It's no bueno.
Have you taken that off and let it dry out?
Yeah, I had it dried out for a while, and then I think it was getting infected. So I started
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Nothing really makes me more uncomfortable than that. So last night, I called Tanya because I needed the password to try and watch the screener for Chrissy. Chrissy Metz is going to be on the show today, and she's in a new movie called Breakthrough. Tawny had a screener, so I was like, hey, can you send that over to me? I want to watch before we talk to her tomorrow, and I really want to see the movie. So I look at my phone. It's 10-something. Tawny has told me how much she's rested over the weekend, so I'm like, maybe there's a chance she's still up because they sent the passcode to her phone. Mm-hmm. So I had to have that. So I call her.
Meanwhile, I sent her the screener at like noon on Sunday.
Yeah, I wasn't ready to watch it noon. I was all right. I was busy.
But you didn't send her the passcode?
Yeah, I did. I sent her the passcode. I gave you my password.
She had all the information.
But then there's a code. There's another code. So I put in the name, the password.
Yeah, I was not aware that there were. I sent her the password. I sent her everything that like I need to like log in.
Yeah. Factor authentication.
Yeah. So I call her. She doesn't answer. I'm like, I'm going to try one more time. She answers.
Which makes me panic because I'm a dead asleep. I'm in like my REM sleep.
I'm going to play.
And
y'all,
I see that she calls me twice. So I'm thinking it's some sort of emergency. You know what I mean? Like I kind of like wake up in a little bit of a panic.
Right.
I'm going to play y'all the conversation.
Oh, great. Thank you for recording it.
Okay. 009.
Thank you, Angel. Go back to sleep. I love you.
Damn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to watch it. I love you.
Love you too, bye.
I mean, maybe bleep out the numbers.
Well, it's an authentic.
Oh, I don't know.
She couldn't even get into it with those numbers.
Yeah,
like, what's your concern?
Because the link expired.
Yeah, so no one can use those numbers.
Yeah, they're no good. Anyways, that groan. When I re-listened to it, I was like, oh my gosh.
The worst part is, so you called me and I hung up and I laid my sweet little head back down to just fall back asleep. And then all of a sudden there's like some gnarly fight going on in my street where this man's like screaming profanities, honking his horn. I was like, what is going on? So I like get out of my bed, couldn't fall back asleep. And I'm like watching.
Are you on a main drag?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm watching this whole thing go down. There's like two girls running around this car. It's clearly a man in the driver's seat. And I'm like, what? It's like continues for like 15 minutes. So I call the cops and they're like, stay watching them and report. Like, and if they leave or whatever, call us back to, and I'm like, great. So now I'm like on a stakeout. It's like time. I just keep looking at my phone. I'm like, time keeps ticking. Then I get a call half an hour later from Brad, who's at Coachella, and is like screaming, singing this Ariana Grande song.
Tanya slept Coachella because she was not feeling well.
Yeah, I'm like, clearly nobody wants me to sleep tonight because I had an influx of like everything happening. So I didn't get to sleep till like midnight or 12:30 or something.
Because you were on stakeout.
I was on stakeout with this.
Did that one to yourself.
That's totally hilarious.
I did that one totally to myself.
Speaking of weird noises Tanya makes, the other day on the radio show with Ryan said to her, you know, it's spring. It's getting to be really good fruit and vegetable season, I believe is what he said.
Yeah.
And this is Tanya's reaction. Is that the weirdest reaction you've ever heard?
What is that?
He says, yeah, it's spring. Get tomato, fruit, and vegetable season. Four inhales.
Because it's the best time when the winter vegetables are going out of season and the summer ones are coming back. Like my Fuji apples are finally getting back to their like crisp, yummy, sweet selves.
And that's that is borderline disturbing and inappropriate.
So it's such an exciting time.
I'm on the page. This, and we may have played this before, but this was Tanya's reaction when Nick Frattiani won American Idol. As we all had a reaction, we're all like, oh, yay, good for him. Or, oh, shoot, I was rooting for somebody else. This was Tanya's reaction, and the winner is Nick Frattiani.
Yes!
That's her stomping her feet, by the way.
Send me this page of Tanya sounds. What else do you have?
I have a bunch.
The best part was that was Danielle Romo. She was like Snapchatting or whatever, Instagramming me. And then she was like, oh my God. Like you can probably, if you kept playing, you could hear in the background going like, oh my God.
That's all I have of that one. But then there's this random crazy Tanya laugh.
Tanya's face watch listening to herself right now.
It's so scary.
The fruit vegetables reaction though. Did everyone feel uncomfortable in the room or?
It's so exciting. This is the best time in the farmer's market.
I'll find some more before the show's over. Okay, so Chrissy Metz is calling in just a minute, and then we're going to talk to Sam Rubin. Because Sam Rubin, if you don't know, he hosts a show here in L.A. on KTLA. It's a morning news show. He's their entertainment reporter. He has Zachary Levi coming on the show tomorrow.
Yes.
So we need to figure out what he's going to say to Zachary Levi to put in a good word for Tanya.
Oh.
Without creeping them out.
Wait, did anyone watch the Access Hollywood thing that people tagged you in? I didn't see it. What did he say?
Nothing, just like that he's waiting for the right woman to come into his
life.
Like nothing like.
And then we have Manish Dayal from The Resident.
Yeah. Honestly, I wish that you guys would give The Resident a try because I really think that you would like it.
No, no, it's I'm not like against giving it a try. Right, I'm not
just
like
time.
Yeah, I watch the full. I have a lot of shows that I keep up with. And
how about Gypsy Rose Blanchard being engaged?
I mean, that's a lot to take in, you know? It's a lot to take in that Gypsy Rose Blanchard is engaged in prison to a pen pal.
How does this happen?
That was a lot. Surprisingly, a lot of prisoners get in these relationships. It's very weird.
It is. Beyond.
And fellow inmate gave her her ring because she was getting a divorce. So that's what she's wearing right now.
Wow. Oh,
dear.
How special.
Love does exist.
Hey, what do you guys know about Lola? Because I feel like that's something we should be talking about because everybody's talking about it.
Oh, actually, yeah. And we have talked about it before.
Are we synced up right now? Are you on your period?
I'm literally about to start.
Dang.
What about you?
I like just finished.
Oh.
I want to point out really quick. We did a Lola spot on the Wind Down podcast with Jana Kramer, and Tanya was a guest on it, and she's reacted with, "Lola's inside me right now."
Oh my God.
The best endorsement I've ever heard.
By the way, I was so wasty pasty doing all of those. Like, I was like, the fact that I said that is truly.
Lola loved it, by the way.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I had literally had Lola inside of me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
How was, before we, oh, well, maybe we can do this after or before, but how was Blake?
He was great.
Any sparks?
He's a great guy. I really like him a lot. I don't know if there was like sparks.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's all I needed.
Yeah. Right? Do you feel like that, Easton?
He seems to have his mind set on Mexico.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
But
you know,
great.
Sometimes chemistry is chemistry, even if it. But if Tanya didn't feel it, then Tanya didn't.
And you know what? We are no one's second choice.
No, we're not.
We are the first choice.
We are the. What did you say that one time we were talking about that? And you're like, I am the.
Oh, I am no man's runner-up.
Yeah, no, was like, I am no man's prize or something. And I'm like, no, you are the prize. You said that wrong. Anyway, so Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Lola's founder started their company with a simple idea. Women shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to feminine care products, which is true. They ask themselves, if we care about the ingredients in the food we eat and the products we use, why shouldn't the same be true for our feminine care products? And honestly, even more so for the feminine care products.
This is literally the exact thing I said to myself because I eat organic and I'm super like careful of what I put in my body. And yet I was stuffing tampons that had been bleached with chemicals in my body.
Yeah.
It's like gross. But Lola's products are 100% natural and easy to feel good about. No BS, mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going in your body. Plus, Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription. Lola will deliver exactly what you need and when you need it. So you know your body best. So Lola will give you 4 ways to tailor your Lola subscription to perfectly fit your needs. So you basically choose the box that you get based on like, you know, your flow.
Well, yeah, and you can choose if you want tampons, pads, or liners, or you can do a combo of all of them.
Right.
You can build your box of 18 tampons or 12 pads. Tampons can be a mix of light, regular, super, and super plus. Pads can be a mix of ultra thin, day pads, or night pads. And then you can also decide how many boxes you want delivered to you. So, I mean, that's really convenient because you can go ahead and stock up so you're not panicking running to the store when it comes.
It's really nice because it just depends. Like some people will have like a really heavy first day and then like a really light end. You know what I mean? So it's just really nice to customize your box. Anyway, for 40% off of all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter Becca when you subscribe. That's mylola.com. And when you subscribe, just enter the word Becca.
How's everybody been sleeping?
Like a baby.
Yeah? I bet you sleep well. I believe that because you do a lot. You sleep in, which is nice.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's a good sleep. That's sleeping in.
Woke up early today.
Oh,
like, what time do you wake up today?
9.
It's so good.
What's normal time?
What do you mean?
Like, if that's early, what's your normal waking time?
I mean,
like 11?
No. No, I'm not a teenager anymore.
What, 10:30?
Like 10. Actually, my body normally wakes up at like 8:30.
Yeah.
Like if I don't set an alarm, I'll probably wake up around 8:30. But like I'll fall back asleep.
You force yourself to get back in there.
Yeah, because like, I gotta get the 9 to 10 hours.
Oh gosh.
But you know what? That is like so great.
It's great.
Like if I could get 8 hours every night, I think I would really be thriving.
Mm-hmm.
I feel and like I you thrive with whatever you're getting.
Six. I get a measly 6 hours.
Do you remember when we had that super hunky doctor in a while? I can't remember his name now. But
Dr. Mike.
Yeah, and we asked him like, what's the biggest health concern for people? And he said, lack of sleep.
Uh-huh. Everything
unhealthy stems from that.
Do you know if I don't sleep, like if I try to pull an all-nighter, any point, like since I've been young, like even as a teenager, if I tried to pull an all-nighter, I got sick.
Yeah. I think that I think that's why I ended up super sick on Friday. I just did not sleep from Monday night on.
Mm. Yeah, you were busy.
And then Friday came and I was just like, I can't function.
Well, for proven quality sleep, there's the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, because as we just said, better sleep will change your life.
True.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot, I think as couples grow together and live together for a long time, they disagree a lot on mattress firmness. Do both of you, with your wives, do y'all disagree or do you both like the same?
We're okay in terms of firmness, mm-hmm. But we had issues with movement early in the relationship. So we had to get, you know, those mattresses where they put the wine glass on one side? That's where we went originally, is for those.
Yeah.
Before we were aware of the wonders of Sleep Number.
Right.
Yeah. We had problems with movement too. We would do the move where one of us slept in a mattress that was in a separate room than the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
but sometimes the couch, you know, but Sleep Number, you can separate those things and it makes it a lot easier for us.
Yeah. So Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds lets you choose your ideal firmness on each side. So it's right for both of you. Or if one day if you're single and you're wanting one day to have a soft finish and the next day you want something a little more firm, you can have both.
Best
of both worlds.
Mm-hmm. The Sleep Number 360 smart beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. And when you add a FlexFit smart adjustable base, you can also raise the head or foot of your bed for ultimate relaxation. Partner snoring? There's even an adjustment for that. So come in now and save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds when you add a smart adjustable base, only for a limited time.
Yeah, Sleep Number is ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/Becca and find the one nearest you. Once again, that's sleepnumber.com/Becca.
Okay, we are so excited because joining us in the OR is star of the movie that I cried 4 times watching, Breakthrough. And of course, this is us. We have Chrissy Metz on the line.
We're getting her right now. Sorry.
Uh-oh.
We're getting her. But we want to talk about that. And of course, This Is Us.
Yes.
And the season finale and the flash forward.
Yes. I have a lot of questions. I just caught up last night.
She probably hasn't seen the season 3 scripts or season 4 scripts yet. So she probably doesn't know. But maybe that's good, because then she can talk more freely.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, here she is. You ready? I'm pressing the button now.
Hi, Chrissy.
How are you?
Well, we are so excited to have you on the show. We really, really wanted you to be in person with us so we could hang out, but we're thrilled to be
here with you. I'm glad to be here, but not there, but here.
You're here in spirit.
Chrissy, I watched Breakthrough, and I cried at 4 different parts of the movie.
It's pretty emotional. I think it's really hitting people in a lot of different places. So while I'm sorry, I'm not sorry.
Right, that's a positive review, right, Tanya?
Yeah,
I think so.
It's very like, there's so many layers to it. And there's this one scene in particular where they're singing Oceans outside the window of the hospital. And
I was a mess
at that point.
I tried to watch it last night because Tanya was able to get a screener and I went to log in and it was gone. So I haven't gotten to watch it yet. However, I got emotional just watching the trailer for it. So I'm like, and then Tanya said she cried four times. So now I'm really prepared for the waterworks.
Yeah, you know, even if you're crying in the, you know, minute trailer, I get it. I mean, there's a lot going on, and because it's a true story, it's so miraculous. I mean, obviously, it has a great ending, which is nice. There's a bit of a reprieve, but, like, it's the whole journey, you know, and really, just the beginning of the story is the beginning of the journey for John Smith and for their family. So, yeah, it's pretty great.
I think that's the thing that was so what hit me the hardest is because it is a true story, and you actually got to meet the people that the movie was based on. How was that?
Yes. Oh my goodness. You know what? It was sort of surreal in that you're like, wait, this really happened. You know, yeah. I'm an actress and it's a job for me, but it's also, you know, something I love and I'm passionate about, but this is their life, you know? And mm-hmm. so I have so many questions and I'm like, are you real? Like, I wanted to touch John, like, you've been through this. So, you know, Joyce is the mother who prayed her son essentially back to life. And it's so hard to even wrap your head around, even after meeting them and talking with them and becoming friends with them and then shooting the movie. It's still miraculous in a sense of unbelievability, you know, but they could not be more gracious and kind and open with, you know, their story, and they're just lovely, incredible human beings.
Yeah, the one thing that is so that struck me is in the doctor's note when it said patient dead, mother prayed, patient came back to life.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
How chilling is that?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Unbelievable.
So congratulations. Yeah. I just wanted to say I'm very happy to support the movie, and I want to sing it loud and sing it proud because I also love Devon Franklin so much, and I know this has been a really big
the best.
Yeah.
He's so wonderful.
He is so wonderful, and I can't say enough about this movie. So congrats.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I just caught up on This Is Us all the way through, and I have some questions. I have a question. Do you know, like, in advance what's going to happen for next season, or are you left just totally in the dark? Oh, you know.
Yes, we know. Yeah, we.
So you know Kate's situation in the flash forward.
Correct.
It's so hard not to just go,
I know.
Where was she?
Believe me. I know. And everyone's like, where? I said, she could be at the store. She could be anywhere. We don't know.
No, Toby said, I just talked to Jack. They're on their way. So that could easily be Kate and Jack are on their way.
Exactly.
But it was vague enough that maybe it's not. And we haven't seen you. Are you looking forward to old age makeup?
Oh, yes, I am. I know Mandy could say, just wait, because she spends so many hours. You know, I think we clocked it. It's over, like, I don't know, 300 hours she's been in makeup. And, you know, so I am looking forward to it. Because I just think it's super cool and you get to, you know, really transform. But I don't know when that will be. So we shall see. But I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, it felt very intentional that you were not there to cause the questions of where is Kate, what's going on, and I don't like when that happens, when we're just...
I know, everyone is... My sister met Dan at the premiere and was like, okay, I need to know what's going on. He's like, I can't tell you anything. She, like, literally interrogated him, bum-rushed him. And I was like, listen, you don't want to know too soon. But we will find out pretty early on, I think, in season four.
Oh, that's good to
know.
Okay,
good. I also would like to say, you play, I mean, with Breakthrough and then This Is Us, you play a lot of, like, super heavy emotional roles.
The irony of it all is that, I mean, I know comedy stems from tragedy, but I thought comedy was going to be my thing. And so when this, you know, this just came about, and then, of course, breakthrough, everyone's like, so all you're going to do is make us cry? And I'm like, that's not my intention. But, you know, I'm very comfortable. You know, there's a lot of actors who don't either can't cry on cue or don't want to cry on cue, or, you know, or they don't want to be in those situations. I am very comfortable with it. So I'm grateful that I get to play, you know, very vulnerable, emotional characters, because it's cathartic for me, you know.
You're so good at it.
No, you're so good at it.
Oh, thanks.
And I remember we met you at, I think it was either Wingo Tango or iHeart, one of the iHeart events, and it was like a group of us all like crowding around you wanting to say hi. And I remember walking away being like, she's as nice as I was hoping she would be, which was really, really great.
Well, thank you. That's always, for me, like, when I meet someone that I really love or I really revere, I'm like, please let them be nice.
Yeah, yeah, please.
Well, and Tanya, you mentioned this morning, that it's so great that so much of the This Is Us cast was at the Breakthrough premiere. Like, that tells us something about you guys and how well you get along as a family. Because you never know what goes on behind the scenes.
Totally. Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't. And that's why I keep trying to tell people that we, like, really are close friends. Like, we all went to Mandy Moore, you know, she had her star ceremony, and we were all there, and a couple people were out of town for the premiere, and, you know, they were like, we're sorry, we can't be there, but, you know, to have so many show up, and Sterling and Mandy and Chris, you know, John, it just means the world to me, because, I mean, not only are they busy, but married and have big, crazy lives, you know, it meant a lot to me. So, yeah, no, we are really true friends, and we really do love each other. So.
I think there's something really special about showing up for people. Like, I know it sounds silly, but I think, like, like, actually showing up for people is such a beautiful thing. So that really, like, when I saw all of them at the premiere, I was like, that's so special.
Do you find it hard to be kind of mean to Mandy Moore in your scenes?
Yes!
Because it is such a, it's such a real example of how a mother-daughter relationship can be in certain situations. And I every time I see y'all on Instagram or talking to each other, and y'all are so friendly and like best friends with each other, and then I watch the show, I'm like, oh.
It's really difficult, honestly, because she's probably one of the kindest human beings you will ever meet. And I'm like, okay, this isn't real. Okay, it's fine. She understands, and we understand. And, but yeah, I do find it very difficult.
Plus, you're basically the same age.
I know,
so,
yeah.
This is interesting, too.
You know, the irony is that I'm a little older than she is. Yeah, funny. It's really quite funny, actually. But I you know, respected her for so long. And there's something very, she has this energy that's very nurturing and motherly. So it's not, I don't know, it's not far-fetched in a way for me. So. Yeah.
I mean, it's every time I watch it, there's part of me that's like, I totally understand Kate's side, and then I have so much compassion and sympathy for Mandy Moore's character too, where I'm like, oh, but she's just trying to help. Yeah, she wants to be a part.
Yes, of course, and that's what's so amazing about any parent and child relationship. It's like we're all just trying to do the best we can, and sometimes we miss the mark, you know, and then that way the show can really, you can see both perspectives, and you can say, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said that to my mom, or wow, I probably should have held my tongue to my daughter, you know, there's all these different aspects of the layered relationship.
I mean, your relationship in Breakthrough with your son is pretty layered too.
I mean, you know, he's a boy that Joyce and Brian adopted from Guatemala, coming into the Midwest, raised by, you know, Caucasian parents. And there's that. And then, of course, him wanting to fit in. And then, you know, Joyce giving up her first son for adoption and how important it is. You know, everybody's literally having their own breakthrough in this movie. And for it to be a true story, and literally 98% of it is completely accurate, is wow, that doesn't always happen. Everything was really on the page.
There's this scene, and I'm not giving anything away because I mean, it's a true story, so we all know what happens. But there's this scene where you come out, and the doctors are kind of in his room, and they're basically like, just saying like that he's not gonna, you know, just bad things, like he's not gonna make it and all these things. And you come out of the bathroom and you're like, we only speak life over my son in this room, so if you have anything bad to say, you can take it outside.
Whoa.
And I was like, it's so true, the power of speaking things over your life.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I always say, if you change your mind, you can change your life. And if we can create negativity and create illness with negativity, why couldn't we do the opposite, which is create health and positivity? And I've seen it happen in my own life through my own, you know, family's medical emergencies and just in my life in general, that I'm like, just try it. Like, I just sort of encourage people just to give it a go and see what change and impact it will have in your life.
Yeah. I have to say, like, I'm a woman of faith, and I'm a Christian, and I think that this movie is so powerful. Not, it's like there are so many breakthroughs going on in the movie that it's really cool to see. You know, there's every side of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that don't believe. There's people that, you know, just all these different things, and everybody's having these different breakthroughs, and it's so incredible, and you're so fantastic in it. You're just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, we just love you. We never want to leave.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
Well, now I'm going to rush out and go see the movie.
I'll go to the theater with you.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Great.
April 17th. That's a great
cue-up.
Thanks.
Hey, yeah. That was going to be my next question, so I went ahead and set it up for you.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks. You guys are good.
All right, so April 17th. You're real good. Is that?
It's this Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this Wednesday. It right before Easter, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody go see it. We love you so much. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, Tanya's making that face that she makes when we get off the phone with somebody who she can't believe how amazing they are. She's making her starstruck face.
Yeah, that's like a smile, open mouth smile,
but
wide
head
eyes.
Head back into her neck in a weird way.
I love, like, she's mega famous.
Yeah.
And this is a huge show.
And she's so cool.
She's amazing. Every time, like literally every time we're at an event together, I feel like I need to say hi to her. And she's probably like, I see this girl every time I come to these things, and she lingers. I just feel like we're friends.
Totally.
Now I really feel like we're friends, so she better watch it.
She's really cool.
I know. She's great.
All right. Let's take a break. We have so much more to get to. We have another guest. We have two more guests, really. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Hold on. Yeah. Joined now by KTLA's own Sam Rubin.
Sam Rubin!
Oh, ladies, that's not the first time two women have screamed my name.
Oh, wow. Opening us with a banger.
Yeah. But a gentle and loving criticism. When you have a guest on hold, you've got to have some sort of hold music.
Oh, how long were you on hold for?
It sounded like 2 or 3 minutes, which is fine, but it's just this abyss. And so, you know, it could be you guys with like a pre-recorded message, like, hey there, fella, hang on, something like that. Whatever.
Yeah. You know what? You actually bring up a good point, because I remember when I was on jury duty and I was like on hold because I was like calling into this show, and I was like, I don't know what's happening. I feel like it's just like a giant sound of nothingness. So,
right. And then you feel that you hear this sort of like when you're picked up.
Yeah.
Some sort of, I can't even describe it.
Yeah. It's like a
Yeah, but no, it's here's the thing. I'm going to do a punch list of things that I could fix, but that's number one. We'll get to
that. We're starting
Becca, how
there.
Are you?
You know, we're just so excited to have you on, because we really got to work together for this Zachary Levi thing.
I'm willing to do it. I'm trying to figure. I'm trying to figure out the best approach.
Oh, okay.
Here's the best. Okay, so here's a couple options.
Okay.
One option, but I think this has risks. Just Tanya, come to KTLA and just pretend to be one of our regular PAs, who you know, and just walks them in, etc. Would you remember and recognize from before? Let's go two paths. If he didn't, does that hurt your feelings? Mm. If he did, does it seem weird? Like, you know, oh my God, she's stalking me.
Yeah, yeah. So Sam, we're trying, Tanya, she's trying to play it cool here. So that one is too big of a risk because he most likely would remember.
You guys, we've talked before. He's definitely going to
He's going to remember. So then he's going to be scared.
Yeah, I think that path's a little scary.
So then I think an attractive photo with a note. Which I could have him open on or off the air.
An attractive photo meaning
like the boudoir photo.
Could you imagine? I hand him, you give Sam Rubin like a calendar. It's like a Tanya right. calendar. He's like, here you go.
It's not another Becca and Tulum photo, but it is. You'll like that.
we'll do some iPhone photography today.
Right.
Sam, it's Mark. I'm the producer of the show. And my sure. thought is it's got to be what you need to say to him, because I'm worried that he's creeped out by her. And he shouldn't be, because we know Tanya and she's the best. But, you know.
Wait, right. You're worried that he's creeped out.
Only because she's a lot.
Yeah.
And her fans are a lot. So, you know, he's been getting DMs like crazy about Tanya for the last week. So I'm worried he's a little put off.
Oh.
So I think there's got to be something you could say to him that makes him think, no, she's normal, she's great, and you would love her.
Well, I'm concerned when you bring up the phrase fan. So in the notes with the photo, she needs to indicate it's, you know, just private communication. You know, our relationship has been too public so far. I'm interested in a more private experience. And the phrase private experience could be so wonderfully misinterpreted.
Wait, Mark, I like where you're going with this, though.
Yeah,
Sam, I like this.
These are very aggressive ideas you have, and I think they're scaring Tanya.
Well, she's got to do something. I mean, it's a competitive situation.
I'm thinking maybe something like, hey, you know, off, I don't know, off the air, but just, hey, between you and me, you know, I know this is...
I know her, she's nice.
Yeah, but and there's, like, things going on with you and Tanya Rad, people are talking about it. Just so you know, she's great, very normal. She may come on strong, but
she's... going to say this on air or off air?
He's just going to do that off air. Tanya, let's say he says to me, no, I really did like her. Is there any way for you to circle back to him directly?
Yes.
Okay, so you have digits or some method to get to them.
Yes, we've communicated. Right. It's just been on like a little bit of an intense. When he came in studio with Ryan, it went so swimmingly well that I feel like everybody has been bombarding him. Like he's been like going on lives and stuff, and people have been like, "When are you taking Tanya? When are you taking Tanya?" So it's just been like at a high. And I think, I mean, the man's been busy. He's literally been traveling like every other day. So that is my only concern. I just want him.
I mean, okay, you know how that is. Sometimes we have a feeling about these things. Do you have a sense that he would like to go out with you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I think, Sam, your job is not to escalate things. Your job is to take things from fantasy to reality.
Wait, I just want to take a sort of a mental health evaluation of Tanya. Do you also believe
time.
Bradley Cooper would like to go out with you?
I do not. I don't think Bradley Cooper even knows I exist.
Do you think, what are other handsome, eligible men? We'll just do a running. But you feel there is sort of some interest.
Yes.
All right. Okay, well, then I think you're right. I think the as often as the case, the producer is right, and just sort of some off-air encouragement.
Yeah.
But now let me ask you this. Great personality, Mr. Handsome, Mr. Tall. Does the same thing worry you?
Wait, what?
I mean, he's you are known and beloved. Becca is known and beloved, but he's really famous.
Mm-hmm.
And is that too much?
Oh, does that put you off at all, his level of fame?
No, because I think he's to me, that's kind of, fame is fleeting. Mm-hmm. I think at his core, he's a really good guy. We have a lot of mutual friends. And so I know that he's a really good guy. So that's what I'm attracted to. Not so much all the hoopla of it all. Does that make sense?
All right. Well, then I think the off-air approach is best. Is there anything, I'm just making this up. This isn't, But there, it would be helpful to have some piece of insight that would indicate I'm informed on the situation. Like, hey, you know, Zach, I'm friends with Tanya. I've worked with her, and you know, when the two of you shared that tea, it really meant a lot to her. When the two of you spoke that Twinkie, or you see what I mean?
Yeah, didn't y'all have? Did y'all have a moment on
They had the prom photo?
Oh yeah, the prom photo.
So you guys took a prom photo.
They went to take photos, which normally just, you know, arm in arm or whatever. Sure. And it was his idea to make it a prom photo. So he turned Tanya around. So he was behind her and he put his arms around her from the back.
Okay.
Sam, I think you could say, hey, I'm friends with Tanya and I saw the prom photo y'all took or something. That was right. funny. And then that leads you into.
All right. She'd really like to go to the prom with you.
Yeah. She'd love for you to recreate a prom for her.
Prom. She'd really like to go to after prom with you. Okay. All right.
But Sam.
And then just, yeah.
You know me. And if you talk to him and you like really feel like this could be a good guy, like, I just want you to follow your heart. Like, just really, truly just.
Well, okay. I mean, have we shared with everybody that I've done this with you once before?
Yes.
Okay. And that was well intended.
And to be fair, it was a great setup. I know where your head was at.
Right.
I know where your head was at. I just don't think we were compatible.
You weren't prom photo material.
Exactly.
I get it.
But it was not a bad setup. Like, I don't think it was a bad setup.
Right. I once fixed up one of the women here with somebody who was my wife's idea. And the review was like, Sam, you're right. He is very, very good looking, but he's a carpet installer. And so that took him out of the running.
You never know.
Which I thought was unfair.
I agree. I don't think that was fair. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
She judged the book by the cover.
Tanya, would you date a carpet installer?
Sure. If he was awesome.
Right.
Okay. Let me see what I can do.
Is he still single? Right.
But you do have a good success rate. You did pitch me hard on that.
Yeah. No, it's true. I have four marriages.
That's pretty
impressive. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
I think that is pretty good. All right. Well, then I'm all over this. Do you guys, should I report back tomorrow? When should I?
Next week. But
next week? Okay.
Do us some justice, because I think Ryan's really betting on Ryan's really betting on this one too. Right? Don't you feel like Ryan's
he's invested.
Yeah.
I do it my entire life is doing favors to Ryan that are unreciprocated. I don't know how much more I can do. I'm very happy to do this for you. I don't know how much more I can do for him.
I am thrilled to hear the reports back after tomorrow.
Okay. Well, then, Rebecca, absolutely.
Thank you. All right.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll see.
Yeah, and fingers crossed for everyone.
Okay, fingers and toes.
Thanks, love you, Sam.
All right, love you guys. I'll see you later.
Bye. I think his approach might be a little...
really take Tanya out of the game.
Yeah.
It's a little precarious right now. Like, I feel like right now it could tip in either direction. I need Sam to just kind of gently push it in the positive direction. I feel like he could really push it in the negative.
I'm worried.
A little worried, yeah. Maybe text Sam later. Off air.
I'm worried.
Do you want to hear more Tanya sounds?
Yeah.
So these are all things we've stolen from the morning show when Tanya has a microphone and we hear things that are funny. And so this one was fairly recently.
Yeah!
Now, I'm trying to remember what that was, but Ryan simply said something that made you...
Oh, so excited.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
What did he say? Zachary Levi coming
out? No, but it was as exciting as springtime. It might have even been the farmer's market. It might have been something like that. Like, or he saw a movie or...
He said something cool. I remember it was like he said something like cool that like cool people say. And it was just so just in his jargon. I was like, yeah.
I really should pull the extended of that because it brings up so many questions.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as cool. I think it might have been like, hey, I was watching The Act on Hulu.
Something like that
she really connected to.
Oh, that sounds like a reaction she'd have.
Let's see what else I found.
It's like, push it back.
Okay, that was out of context. That makes no sense. Sorry. How about this one?
No!
Okay, just thought that was funny. All right. Oh, this is a classic. We use this a lot.
It's so good!
That's like the original Tanya drop that we pulled when she first started working for us.
It's so good!
This one's bizarre. We never really figured out what the thing was on that one, but
it's like so scary.
Speaking in tongues.
It's scary.
It's all out of context. When it all comes together, it works.
Thank you.
Yeah,
here's a Tanya laugh. It starts slow and gets big. Kind of like a witch. A little bit like a witch
diabolical.
On that one. Yeah, a little diabolical.
It's still very much on fleek.
Okay, there's that one. There's that. And then we have a few more here. I don't know what... these are out of context. So if these are... I don't know what these are.
No. Oh, that would give me diarrhea.
That's a good one. Let's hear that one again.
Oh, that would give me diarrhea.
Okay. But that's the beauty of Tanya. She's so unfiltered. And then I don't know what this is.
What's a letter to me might be an X-rated video to somebody else.
What's a letter to me might be an X-rated video to somebody else.
Hold on.
That's I think that was on the podcast.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But that's the Tanya
logic. A letter
logic.
To me might be an X-rated video.
I was trying to say, like, everybody's perspective is different. So, like, a sext for you, like, if you're saying, oh, I'm sending a sext, mm-hmm. I'm sexting with somebody, mm-hmm. that could just be, like, normal jargon for somebody else.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I also pulled the entire reaction of her watching Nick Frattiani win American Idol. So it's not as out of context. You have the full 14 seconds.
Nick Frattiani.
Yes! Oh, my God.
I mean, I didn't realize you were such a huge Nick Frattiani fan at the time.
Oh, was I?
The stomping
was
is
it
incredible.
Like you were like rooting for him because you wanted him to win, or because like you just were like, oh, Nick is so cute?
I was going, it was the season where I was going every single week to interview all of them. So I got to know all of them really well, and I wanted him to win from the beginning because I like liked him so much. So I was really happy.
So one more time, note the stomping, and then note Danielle Romo, who's running the camera going, oh my God, like what is happening to you?
Danielle's the best part of that.
I think there's 16 stomps I heard there. All right, we have some really good emails I want to get to before Manish Dayal calls, because he's calling in just a few minutes. He's on The Resident on Fox, and he's going to be fun to talk to. Now, this is a very good email. Props to you, Randy. This one's a real head-scratcher. She says, I always laugh so hard at everyone despising Owen and the relationship between Maggie and Jackson, because I totally agree. So I need to know Becca and Tanya's thoughts on these two Grey's Anatomy scenarios. Ready? Mm-hmm. What if the actor who plays Owen, Kevin McKidd, requests to come on the podcast? Would you have him as a guest, and would you tell him you despise him?
It will never happen.
Kevin McKidd wants to come on. What do you react?
Super hypothetical.
He's super hypothetical, but we've had two cast members.
Three, kind of. I think we have him on. 100%.
Yeah. I agree.
And we tell him we hate his character.
Yeah.
Isn't that insulting to him, though?
No. Yeah, my only problem is that's how I envision him being in real life. And like when we met, you remember he wasn't
terribly friendly when you were there in your scrubs in the red car.
What'd she say? She was surprised.
Yeah,
she
like,
was.
She was like, that's so interesting because he's like super like down to play.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd give him a second chance, but I would say I don't enjoy Owen as a character.
That's aggressive, I feel like, because it's been 10 years and he's been putting his heart and soul into that character.
And I would say I enjoyed him when Christina was around, but I think he's really taken advantage of Amelia. He's been selfish in his relationships.
Okay, and maybe we can justify that, like as his sister said, he's still a little messed up and making the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
The war affected him deeply.
He doesn't think of anyone but himself.
I also think it's like, we can't have him come in and be like, we love your character.
Well, yeah, because if he listened to any of the podcasts before that, he would know that that's not true.
And be very dishonest.
So the answer is yes, we would have him on, and we would try to be as honest as we can
without
with him about his character.
Horribly, yeah.
Yeah, like maybe we said we don't like the way your character is written. Like maybe we blame it on the writers or something. Her second question is, what if a future storyline involves a love interest between Owen and Maggie? Is it better to have two disliked characters together, or is it too disgusting to even handle that?
Them two together, I don't see just in general their person, like, not...
Okay, but
if it was
I didn't
a character,
see Link and Amelia either, so let's just, you know, what if?
I did see Link
you
and
did?
Amelia, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't hate it.
Oh.
So, haters, you should back off. I think if Owen and Maggie got together, I would just be like confused. This doesn't make sense. That would be mostly my thought process.
I'd probably like it.
You would like Owen and Maggie together.
I just don't want her with Jackson.
As long as she's away from Jackson.
As long
you're
as
happy.
She's away from Jackson, I'm happy.
Hmm. And you liked Owen and Christina?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Christina made Owen a better man.
She really did.
This woman is going by Elle. We'll leave it at that. And she actually really needs your help, so I'm hoping you guys can give her some advice. She says, I'm 19. I'm a freshman in college. I'm in a sorority that I feel out of place and lonely in. I love fitness, health, God, and I want to find real love. I think I want to work in the fitness industry as a Pilates yoga instructor. I know it would be a good backup and beneficial to have a college degree, but I'm not interested in my classes. I feel more lost than I ever have in my life. I cry all the time.
Oh my God.
I consider leaving college to pursue what I actually want to do, but I worry then that I'll still feel lonely and miss out on all the college experiences. I've looked into transferring schools as well, but I have no idea what the right answer is. I'd love to hear any advice from you all who have been through life as a young adult, because I've never felt more lost, lonely, and confused about what I want in my entire life.
This was my exact feelings while I was in college at 19 as a freshman. I was in a sorority that I did not feel like, I just didn't, it wasn't even necessarily the sorority specifically, just that life. I didn't like going out and partying, and that was kind of, you know, being in a sorority, you pay a lot of money, you go out to a lot of events, and I like didn't really have the interest in doing that.
So many events.
I didn't love fitness and I didn't love health, so I'm out of help on that one, but I did struggle with finding my place in the college scene, and I ended up moving out to California and left college. However, I will say it was a struggle to still find out what I wanted to do, in the sense of being like, where do I go now that I don't have a college degree? I'm so young. Like, what's my next step? But I think if you have a desire to do what you're passionate about and you're miserable, I say seek that out and do it. And then college isn't going anywhere. However, if you have a scholarship and it's like being paid for and you want to finish college, then I think you stick it out. But I think if you know what you want to do and you don't need a college degree to do it and you're paying for college, then I would go pursue what you're passionate about.
It's tough, though, because she doesn't even seem 100% in on that. Like, she's thought about it, but she's not sure.
She said she'd miss out on the college experience, too.
The college experience is a cool deal, but I don't know. Tanya, you go first.
I feel like I'm the wrong person to answer this, because I would say, if you don't feel like the sorority is the place for you, then I would say drop out of the sorority. Mm-hmm. Because there's other ways that you can get involved in your colleges. Because like, I was also in different clubs and things like that I really thrived in as well. So there's other places that you can like kind of make friends in college, not necessarily in a sorority. Because I agree. I think a sorority is like a certain type, and I loved it. But if I didn't love it, I would just leave and
I think that's very good advice.
Stay, yeah. But I would say stay in school, because I think that you're 19 right now, and I feel like having the degree might be good for you. So maybe I would just try getting plugged in somewhere else.
It's tough when you're 19 and you don't have a passion, or you haven't figured out your passion, right? Because everybody's got something. But for a lot of people, I think they feel lost out of high school.
I think a lot of people feel lost out of college. I think that's a struggle. Is like you pay so much money, and then it's over, and no one can get a job. Yeah. You know, everyone's struggling to find a job even after college. I think there's a lot of pros and cons both ways. Like, you really have to, it's not what it used to be where it was like you have to go to college and you have to finish to be successful. I would say maybe even take down the amount of classes you're taking, and on the side, pursue the career that you want to do of being a Pilates or yoga instructor, and take that up and do that as...
Right, don't drop out.
Don't drop out. Just lower your class and maybe drop the sorority, and so that you're still involved, but also maybe trying something that you think you could see yourself doing.
What was it for you that helped snap you out of that lost feeling?
I think when... I was able to like pay and live on my own. Mm-hmm. I always thought that in my life that I would have this like direction of what I wanted to do. And like, I never had that feeling of like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. And so once I was able to just have a job and like support myself, even though it was still a job, like it was work, but I knew that's what I had to do to live. And I was like, happy with that. I think I just always found contentment in being able to like support myself.
I think when you can like provide for yourself, there is some sort of like, not freeingness, but like there's some sort of like, I'm capable.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I didn't need what everyone else. Because a lot of my family members were like, what are you doing? There's no way you can live in California on your own. And I was like, well, I'm going to try.
Yeah. And I think with, like, for even for me, I graduated from college and I couldn't find a job to save my life. Yeah. And I was like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I just graduated from college, got a bomb degree, and I can't get a job to save my life. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's tough out there, and it's tough in college, which is so expensive, mm-hmm. that if you're not enjoying it and you're not into your classes and you're not having any fun, you're like, why am I wasting my or my parents' money on this? Because it is so much. I get the feelings you're going through. Mm-hmm. But I think sticking it out is probably the right idea for now. But I like Becca's advice. I think leave the sorority, find other friends. I think maybe cut down your class load and try to explore that fitness route. Because that's something I did. I tried to get into radio independent of college. And when I did, that path opened up for me. So it's good to kind of have as many possibilities as possible out there.
Yeah, and you might be like, I don't want to be a yoga or Pilates instructor, but you're not going to know until you give it a shot.
Right, if you give up college completely, that's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, how we doing? Five more minutes till Manish. Taylor's frustrated. She tried to set up a scrubbing and meetup. She had 7 girls going. It was scheduled for 1 o'clock on Sunday. At 11:30, people started saying, oh, I can't make it. And by 12:50 p.m., all 6 girls individually canceled. My feelings were hurt. I felt kind of embarrassed. Why do we do this to each other? If a girl posts in the Facebook group about a guy canceling an hour before the date was supposed to happen, there are 100 comments of girls saying, thank you, next. So why do we hold Bumble guys to a higher standard than we do for our own friendships? Wow. I feel like people cancel on each other all the time like it's nothing. It's just me. Does this happen to you? They want your input on the topic.
This makes me so sad. I'm wondering, was it in L.A.?
I don't think so.
I guess it doesn't matter, but it's so funny because it's something that I hear a lot from like my friends in LA. It's like everybody always is just like, oh, like when you make plans with people, they actually don't expect you to like follow through with the plans. And I'm like, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the culture now. Do you know what I mean?
You mean like just saying, let's do lunch, that kind
of
thing?
Yeah, like you see somebody and they're like, oh, let's get coffee sometime, or, you know, like let's get coffee on Wednesday or whatever. And then they like act like, that's not really going to happen unless somebody like actually reaches out and texts and says like, mm-hmm. what time works for you?
Which is rare.
Which
is rare
to
reach out and do that. Everyone says it. Nobody does it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's, I think obviously LA, there's probably that, that probably happens a lot, but I think that's everywhere. I think that's this like social media, like just like in the dating scene, how it's like, okay, I can do, you know, something else will come along. Like there's this fear of making set plans because what if something else comes along? It's like a weird, like warped mentality that I have it too, but mine's normally because I'm like lazy and don't want to sit in traffic. But I think when you make specific plans, like we're going to meet here at this time, that's something that you should be held up to, mm-hmm. because it's not just like, hey, we should get lunch sometime. It's like someone planned it. So I'm curious what happened that all 6 people
it's
canceled.
It's interesting because you all listen to this podcast and that's wonderful and we love you for that and thank you. But also, you're strangers to each other. So that's, I wonder if it's like, meet up in my city? Yes, I am so down. And then that day you're like, I don't really know these people.
Yeah, maybe
really,
a little bit of like shyness.
I think
and
there's
like
a shyness
fear.
There.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Taylor. It sucks. Like, there's really nothing. I don't know.
It does suck. I have to tell you, I guess my best advice to you, Taylor, is don't let this change you. Like, keep showing up for people. Keep making plans. You hold yourself accountable. You make, you know, you show, you be the change, and hopefully you'll attract those same people.
And I'm told this meetup was in Thousand Oaks, California, which is where I live. Wow. These are my people.
These are your people.
And why didn't y'all invite Mark?
I didn't get like an invite on this
I
one.
I think they did.
Oh, did they?
I feel like I saw this, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see that. Catherine has one we can sneak in here before Manish. A couple of weekends ago, my fiance and I went on a couple's trip with my best friend and her boyfriend. Although we love them both, they are notorious for getting in big arguments. And one of the last nights of the trip, they got into a huge argument about something very minor. She threw a drink in his face. He stormed back to the hotel. A couple drinks later, we see her dancing with another guy on the dance floor. Last call came. The two exchanged phone numbers. The entire time, my fiance and I were watching this, not sure what to do. Do we say something to her? To her boyfriend? Where do we draw the line? Is it any of our business? The next morning, they made up. They went on with their activities. We all did together. Her boyfriend was oblivious to what went on after he left the bar. The kicker is, he told my fiance that he brought her a ring and he's going to propose in May. I love her and I want what's best for them both, but when do I step in?
Can you give me the Cliff Notes version of that?
I'm going to just answer it.
Okay.
Don't step in. She didn't really do anything wrong. She was drunk and she was pissed.
I was going to say she was drunk and mad. And who knows? She may have had a conversation with him and like when they made up and said, hey, I gave my number. Like, yeah. You don't know what happened.
Maybe if she'd have made out with this guy, yeah. That's different. But if she's just dancing with a guy, angry at her boyfriend, this is what we're exchanging a phone number. She's doing it to get back at him, right? She's like, I'm fine. I can give you my phone number. I don't care what he thinks. I'll do whatever I want. He's a jerk anyway.
Yeah.
But the next morning, she thinks better of it. That phone number's not getting used.
I think if you somehow find out that she has talked to this guy that she gave her number to,
that's an escalation.
I think you should step in.
For now, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Stepping in just makes you stay awake and watch as the cops come. So I'm a big fan of stepping aside for things.
All right. Manish Dayal from The Resident. He is next.
Can we give a warm welcome to the OR to Manish Dayal, everybody?
Hey.
Hi, Manish.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
This is another OR that you're getting to scrub into.
Yeah. You're talking about, your OR.
Yeah, scrubbing in OR.
This OR.
All right, look, you know, that's awesome.
Okay, Manish, can I just tell you, I'm obsessed with your character on The Resident.
Aw, thank you. That's awesome.
This whole time, I thought that the show was based around you, like that you were like this was your show.
I mean, it just sort of goes in so many different directions, I feel like. I think the show is definitely an ensemble, and I think it really works, it really works well that way, because every character has a different perspective on the world of medicine, and everyone is also in a different place in their careers, so it allows the show to sort of show the audience so many various perspectives of any single event happening.
So your character on the show is like kind of like, I'm just curious if you're like him at all in real life, because I like him because he's not afraid of commitment. You know, obviously like he was engaged and that whole thing is like,
right.
You know, not ideal, but I like that you're not afraid of commitment and you just seem like a really great heart. Like, I always loved your character. Are you like that in real life? Like, it seems really, it seems like you're playing yourself.
She wants to know if you are.
You know what? I think there's something about that. I mean, we're similar in certain ways, but I think we're pretty different. I think Devin is really one of these people that just, he just goes for it. I think he's also so young in his career that he doesn't have all of those blocks and insecurities yet. And I think that when there's something that appeals to him and his beliefs and his heart, he's going to run for it. He's a very passionate guy. And I think that it's really interesting and fun to play, because he's always going to, he always wants to do the right thing. And maybe he's doing it sometimes in not the best way, but his intentions are always pure and right. And, you know, he comes from this world of academics. You know, he graduated top of his class in med school, and he thought that was going to take him to the next level of being a doctor. But what he realizes is that it's going to take more than book smarts to do that. He's going to need to rely on his instincts. I think that's really where what's happening in season two. He's really coming into his own and figuring out who he is.
He really is, you know. He's becoming very worldly.
Yeah, I would agree.
He really is.
It's been fun, you know, to see what he does. And I don't know how much you guys know about tonight's episode, but it's pretty wild. It's some crazy stuff is going to happen tonight. It's probably my favorite episode of the entire series so far.
So the reason why I think the show is really cool and different, because obviously we're obsessed with Grey's Anatomy here. It shows like kind of the corrupt side of the medical world that I never ever thought of before. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this totally makes sense. And now like it almost makes me just as like a human want to be more knowledgeable about my own health and like proactive when I'm like at my doctor's office.
Oh yeah. We all have to be in control of what's happening around us, just because doctors are human beings. You know, that's also, that's what we're trying to portray here.
Yeah.
Is that these are people who make mistakes, who are fallible, and some have to make decisions sometimes in weird and strange ways. You know, I think doctors are people and they're human beings and they're capable of making errors, and we should be in control of our medical decisions, no doubt.
And it's a business.
And always, you know, seeking second. Oh, yeah, the whole business side of it, too. That's a whole nother of the story we're telling. You know, I think that it is a business. It's privatized here in the United States. And it's something that we have to not lose sight of, you know. Yeah. And I think that the show is unafraid of talking about those issues and, you know, keeping it contained in Chastain and then how that relates to the doctors and the decisions that are made and the patients that come in. It's the whole thing, you know, and I think the show is doing a fine job of portraying that.
Manish, I have not started The Resident, and Tanya's been raving about it. So if you were to give me a 30-second pitch of why I should watch it
elevator
from
pitch.
Your perspective, what would it be?
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure. Oh, my gosh. I would say that The Resident is a new and dark take on the world of medicine. It sort of peels back the curtains and shows you the underbelly of the medical world and the medical business and how it is actually a revenue generating business and how that affects the people inside and the people who are running it. And that's really what the show is about. It's about, you know, it's a character story about how we're navigating our lives and our careers in this very tricky and hierarchical business.
That was a good one. Yeah. And Tanya's, I mean, I know when Tanya gets excited about something, it means a lot. I mean, she gets excited about a lot of things, but when it's TV shows,
yeah, because I don't really
passionate.
I don't like kick it on the couch much. So when I'm really obsessed, like, because there's a whole, in the very first season, there's like a woman who's basically giving like chemo to patients that don't have cancer because she has like a survival rate or whatever it is. But it's like so dark, you know, it's like the things that you don't think about.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting to talk about these issues because they are happening, you know, in the real world. Like this year, we're talking about medical devices, and we all know, you know, how that's about to sort of become on people's minds right now as that story is sort of surfacing. And, you know, I think that that's what the show wants to do. It wants to sort of hit those hot button topics and sort of provoke a conversation and debate about it. And, you know, there's going to be so many multiple, you know, different perspectives and opinions on it. And that's what we want to sort of talk about and illuminate on the show.
Yeah.
But I'm really glad you guys like it. What's your favorite episode?
Ooh, you know, I'm not going to lie, as much as I hate to admit it, I really enjoyed Jenna Dewan's arc in the, like, yeah. I liked her role, how she kind of came in and, like, tempted you, and I really enjoyed
it. Do you have a love interest on the show?
Well, Jenna Dewan's
He was engaged to be married, and then he, like, ended his engagement, and then...
I ended the engagement for Julian Booth, who's the device rep who comes into Chastain. She and Devin to have a relationship. Working with Jenna was a lot of fun. We had a really good time, and she brought a new and totally unique energy to the show.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it all. Like, all the, like, darkness of it is so intriguing to me. And my mom stayed with me like 2 weeks ago, and I had her watch just one episode with me, and she literally stayed up till 2 a.m. because she finished the entire season 2.
You know what? We're really popular with moms. Moms love our show.
Yeah, she was really into it.
That's awesome.
I have one very serious question. Does your wife like when you wear scrubs? Do you keep them? Do you leave in them, or do you ever come home in them?
You know what? You never see me in the scrubs, and I actually liked it that way.
She likes it that way,
I put them on when I get to work, take them off before I leave. I never really come home in the scrubs, but, you know, sometimes they're comfortable, you know, they're just funny. TV scrubs and real life scrubs are different.
Oh.
You know.
Because we own scrubs, and Becca and I feel like we get a lot more respect when we wear them out in the wild.
Oh, for sure. When you see, you know, someone in scrubs, you know, they're in a hurry. They got somewhere to go.
Yeah, people are like, priority. Let me get the door for you.
I got you. I'll hold that door for you. Yeah. You can hear, you can have this parking space. You know, there's definitely some perks that come with it.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to report back after. I will probably do what Tanya's mom did and binge it like that.
But start from the beginning. Start from season 1.
Yeah, I'm going to start from the beginning. But I'm very excited now that we've talked to you. Now I really feel like I'm going to feel invested in the show.
Yeah.
Awesome. Enjoy it. It's a wild, wild ride, especially second season.
The second season's fantastic. And I'm not going to lie, like, when I was watching it, I knew nothing about you personally. I'm very happy that you're married and you seem very, you have a family. But I was like, this guy must be really awesome to date. Like, I literally was like, I need to date this guy.
Yeah, it was kind of a thing. We were really trying to scope out if you were available for Tanya or not. But we found out that you are very happily married with a child. So we're very happy for you.
Very happy.
Thank you so much. That's very sweet of you guys.
We actually got an email about that. Somebody saying, I love your podcast. I've been binging it from the beginning. I just passed the episode about the resident and Manish Dayal. And Tanya, I agree with you. He is so cute, but unfortunately he's married and has a kid. Her name is Manisha. So she definitely was excited about that.
I wonder if that's a real name or not.
Maybe she just calls herself that.
She's like, big fan.
Yeah. Thank you, Manisha. Thank you, guys.
Well, this was such a treat. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate it.
And tonight, can you tell everyone where to watch The Resident tonight?
Yeah, tonight's episode is on at 8 o'clock on Fox, and it's called If Not Now, When? And it is a very special episode for us. We sort of talk about maternity, mortality, and sort of a growing epidemic happening in our country's maternity wards all over the country. And it's an important one. It's one I'm super stoked about. And it's also a true story about Kara Dixon Johnson and her husband. And I think it's going to be great.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time to come and scrub in.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Manisha also says, I hope that you, Becca and Tanya, both find love and everything you want, especially Tanya, because I get you. I crave companionship so much, and I'm 24 years old, and I've never been in a relationship before. Aww. So she wishes the best for you, too, and we wish the best for Manisha.
Can you please look at Becca's piece of paper?
What are you doing, Becca?
I did
stars.
Doodling?
Oh, look at those stars. You're a doodler.
I am today. I realize if I... never. I can't even... explain what my brain. I realized if I started my star on the different side, it made it prettier. So I was practicing.
Okay. All right. I think that means we've run out of stuff to talk about.
No,
so let's thank some people.
What? I wanted to do like a fun quiz of some sort.
We're well into this show. This is a long show.
I've been gone for 2 weeks. So
what's the quiz?
I don't know. Just thought we could do a quiz.
Okay. Well, I have those names. We're going to draw names out of a hat and get. We're going to take two Grey's characters out of a hat and see how we felt about them as a couple.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go get my hat.
All right. I have every character from Grey's Anatomy in this hat. Now, this is also obscure characters. They are all in here. Every current character is
obscure.
In here.
Obscure.
Well, something like, say, what's the name of that guy with the little beard?
Oh.
No mustache? That guy. See? They're all in here. I don't remember.
His name?
I don't know if you draw them, I'll remember. All right, ready?
Now,
Becca, we were originally going to have one of you pick, and we're going to do a male hat and a female hat, but I realized that we are in a post-gender, post-sexuality society.
Right.
So we're just going to pick two names out of here and see if we like the compatibility of them, okay?
Yeah,
I'll have
like
you each pick one. All right, here we go.
Thank
don't
you.
Don't reveal it yet.
Okay.
Becca's choice. All right.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Okay,
Becca, who did you pick?
Meredith Grey.
Oh, great. Oh, and Tanya, you picked?
Alex Graham.
Oh,
no!
Yes!
This is my dream come true. No.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, you
guys. That's a little weird.
That is like fate.
I've got like 20 names in this hat. There's a lot of cast members on this show. That's
wow.
Pretty amazing. Becca, how do you feel about Meredith and Alex together? Does it help that we just drew them randomly out of a hat? Does that help?
No.
Does it mean they're fated or meant to be?
That's fate right there.
I think it is.
If it's meant to be.
Here's the thing. I think if Alex, I love Alex with Joe.
Well, that's what we covered with Joe. So do you want to put those back in here or just draw two more?
No, I think we keep them out.
All right, keep them out. Here comes our next couple to discuss.
I appreciate you like shaking them like that. Okay, do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Tanya, go first.
Teddy Altman.
Teddy Altman, and she's going to be in love with?
Joe Wilson-Karev.
Oh, see, but again, we're breaking up that couple.
I don't hate it.
I do. I don't think they go together at all.
You don't?
No.
Not even after the like episode where they were like taking such good care of that assault victim?
That's
yeah,
true.
But not as a romantic. You know. Oh, God, that episode was so good.
Yeah.
Very powerful. I don't mind it. I don't mind those two together.
Yeah, I don't even.
Yeah, I think
it's
that
not
could
the
maybe
worst.
Work.
It's not the best.
So if Alex ends up with Meredith, then perhaps Joe can end up with Teddy.
I'm really liking the way this is all shaking out.
Teddy already has a triangle right now.
I don't
now.
Like either of her men, though, really.
Yeah, but if she realizes that Joe's the one for her, the triangle falls apart very quickly. All right, one more.
Okay. Are these people who have maybe died on the show as well?
No.
Oh, current, just current.
Current living cast members.
Okay.
I don't even know. Oh.
Oh, that's not good.
Becca?
Amelia Shepherd.
Okay, hooking up with?
Levi Schmidt.
Is that glasses?
Glasses, yeah.
I don't love it.
I don't love that one either.
I actually hate
it. Out of the three, I would unfortunately have to say Meredith and Alex.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah.
All right. It is time to thank some people.
Thank you for indulging me in it.
Sure. Really quick, I just want to shout out Vanessa and the San Francisco Giants for providing the hat we pulled the names out of. She sent a lot of really cool
Giants stuff. It's a Buster Posey hat.
Yes, a lot of really cool stuff. My desk now has Mount Crushmore on it, and I have a Hello Kitty hat, and it's really cool, and I love the Giants, and I hate the Dodgers, and Vanessa, you're the best. She's a really cool listener.
That's really nice.
Thanks, Vanessa.
That's very nice. Really nice. If anybody works for the Milwaukee Brewers. All right. Thank you, Lola. You're great. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter...
Becca!
And Sleep Number. To find the one nearest you, just go to sleepnumber.com/Becca. And thank you to Chrissy Metz. And thank you to Manish Dayal. And thank you to Sam Rubin. And thank you, Tanya and Becca, for brightening our lives every week.
Thank you to Mark and Easton for being the best of the best.
Yeah, don't you think we should do a mantle with Mark and Easton?
I'm going to do a mantle, and I want people to ask all the questions.
But you know what? If we want a third guy, I think our third guy could be Wells. Because he's in a good, committed, thriving relationship.
I like Wells. I would be fine to share the mantle with Wells.
I'm fine with Wells, too. I just don't know if we should get a single guy.
You mean a not married guy? Oh, you think
well,
we should add a
married.
Single guy to the mantle?
Mm-hmm. We got to get like a good quality. Like, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like someone that like...
Yeah. We'll think about it.
Something to mull over.
Yeah. Something to think about within the week.
Yeah, I think so.
I had a name on the tip of my tongue, but then I realized he's not single.
Who?
Robert.
Graham?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
we should address that because everyone keeps asking, what happened to Robert? He's not coming
on. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Let's just move on from that. He's not coming on. So, hey, you move on.
We tried. It just hasn't worked out.
In fact, the chances of Robert coming on are about to flatline.
That's not true. I'm going to keep trying.
Time of death, 11:50.
You know what they say? Somebody's no today is a yes tomorrow.